Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. A lot of other good things you can do there at jbsba.com. And if you have a question or comment about the show or about me, or if you want to say something really nice about our guest and our good friend this hour, Joan Pride, you can do that by sending it to askjim@jbsba.com. Joan Pride is our guest, as I said. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Jim. How are you?
Great. It's good to have you back, as always.
Thank you.
And I know you're excited about being back.
As always.
Yeah, yeah. Joan, before we get into the letter, have you noticed that there hasn't been a tremendous amount being said or done, it seems, about the campaign, the election, does it seem like other news is really kind of trumping any kind of presidential politics?
No, but that's because I'm in Washington.
That's because you're inside the Beltway, aren't you?
We get plenty of election politics news.
Out here in flyover America, there's still some of it going on, but Iraq is really taking up the news, isn't it?
Really? Well, I mean, it has, but we still get plenty of news about the campaign.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we're not the real world, remember?
Well, that's
Don't
true.
Don't go by us.
I'm glad you said that, not me. But that's the truth.
Well, it's true.
And we're going to talk about Iraq a little bit later on. But the first thing we want to talk about is what was first up on the front page of the most recent Kiplinger letter, and that's the good news for small business owners especially about prices. Tell us about that, Joan.
Well, pricing power is back, and I think all of your listeners should be pretty happy about that because that means a lot of things. It means demand is increasing, and but at the same token, costs of their materials are rising, so the ability to price goods higher is going to help their bottom line.
Absolutely. And how many years, Joan, have we lamented for small business owners here on the show about the lack of pricing power, the total lack of pricing power?
I think about 100. It feels like about 100.
And folks, and Joan, as you know, and folks, as I remind you, pricing power doesn't just mean that you can't raise prices. I mean, what it means is you can't raise prices even though some of your costs may be going up.
Right, and that's the key.
That's the squeeze.
Right.
That really put a lot of people out of business in the last 2 or 3 years.
So it's been over 2 years now that this has been going on.
So now what's happening is because businesses, large and small, have some pricing power, their customers are kind of allowing them to pass through some increases. What we're seeing, Joan, is the companies that survived found a way to somehow eke out a profit with the tight pricing. But now that pricing has gone up, we're seeing not only prices go up, but we're also seeing profits go up.
That's right. Boy, and isn't that important for the recovery?
It's important for businesses. But, Joan, did you read the recent information about how it's helping the government coffers?
No, I did not.
Yeah, you missed that,
didn't
you? Uh-huh. How convenient. Well, no, what they're pointing out is that...
Well, that means tax revenues will go up,
exactly.
I would think.
That's exactly what's happening because the profits are going up. Tax revenues are going up. And, Joan, what is that? Tell us what that means. Tell us how... Would you like to define that? Give us the definition of that.
When profits and revenues are going up,
and it causes, and when the economy is good,
yeah,
and it fills up the coffers, even though tax rates are down. What do we call that? I'll help you out. Supply side economics, isn't that?
Oh,
supply
okay.
Side? I was hoping you would say it, Joan. I wanted you to say it.
Yeah, but see, since I don't believe in that, I'm not going to even remember that it exists.
But I think I almost got you. I think if you could have thought about it, you would have said it. I almost tricked you into saying it.
I don't know.
But anyway.
But like I said, it's not even on my radar screen.
Supply-side economics is a reality, folks. It works.
Yeah, also known as fiction.
Well, you tell me about the fiction. We shall see what we shall see, Missy.
Okay.
But anyway, let's get back to the pricing, the profits. I just interviewed Bill Dunkelberg, the chief economist for the NFIB, And he said this. He said, yeah, inflation's going up. Yeah, you know, we got this challenge, we got that challenge. But he said the news, and I'm paraphrasing him now, folks, and some of you heard me say interview him, the news in 2004 is going to be about profits, not interest rates, not taxes, not anything else. In terms of the economy, the news is about profits.
Right.
And he's also talking about big companies, not just little companies.
That's
exciting.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's good news.
Fantastic.
Consumer goods are inching up. Joan, we got bad news for those people who love pizza, don't we?
That's right. That was our big example. Kraft is charging more for cheese and pizza. I'm sure there are other products, too, but for some reason we picked on them. And we talked about tires and paper goods.
When I read that about the cheese and pizza, Joan, I went right into a funk. I just went right into a tailspin. That's exactly right. But no, seriously, we're gonna have to start seeing that. You know, Joan, another thing that won't be denied. You know, this economy, the oxygen of the 21st century economy is called petroleum, isn't it?
No, that's a good point. That's right. And you know what's happening to that.
And those prices aren't just up and going up, Joan. They're not coming back down.
That's right.
And as I mentioned to Bill Dunkelberg last hour, Joan, if you don't like oil prices now, if you don't like the gas prices at the pump now, get used to it because they're not going to go down.
No question about it.
And of course, you know what we don't see, Joan, and this has to do with the prices that we're going to be paying as consumers. What we don't always see is how that petroleum impacts the bottles that our shampoo comes in. The tires.
Right. Yeah, mostly what we think about is just the gas at the pump. But yeah, petroleum has so many other uses that are important in our daily lives.
Yeah, yeah. It's you know, somebody once said, you know, you hear people saying we shouldn't be, you know, we shouldn't have that the whole thing in Kuwait 12 years ago or whenever was about oil. This is all about oil. You hear people say that. Well, you know what? It's about oil because you know we don't even want to think about where we would be. If we didn't have some kind of influence over petroleum.
That's right.
It would be scary. Okay, Joan, what about some other issues? Pay raises are going up a little bit, right?
Well, not really. I mean, we're saying that they'll hold around 3.5%, so the rate will stay pretty steady. And the jobless rate would have to fall a bit more, and that we're not saying that not will not happen this year. The jobless rate would have to fall a bit more for pay raises to inch up further.
Right. It's now at 5.6, I think, the new number I saw. And you guys say it would need to get down to around 5.
5, so that's
for that
quite
to
a
happen.
Bit.
But yeah. that could happen by the end of the year, though, Joan, I think.
We're saying not until late next year.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll see. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. More to come with our good friend, Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. It's 20 after.
It's a beautiful morning. I think I'll go outside for a while and just smile.
We're back. It's 23 after. Thanks for hanging around with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest, and she's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, another thing that you guys pointed out is I thought this is interesting, is that services in terms of price, we're talking about pricing power, folks. We're talking about a return to pricing power. People are actually having the ability to raise their prices. And so small business owners, think about this. I mean, test it out there and see if you can raise your prices. You know, the guy who cuts my hair raised his prices recently, Joan, 10%.
That's funny, because don't you have a lot less hair now? You should be getting a discount.
You know, Joan, sometimes your humor just falls flat. I don't know if you noticed that.
I thought it was my perceptiveness there. I don't know.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the comedian Joan Pride, but
hey, your listeners are laughing, I guarantee.
But what about services? That's outpacing the CPI, you said. Tell us what that means.
Well, they've been outpacing the general CPI. We're saying that actually they're outpacing it at a slower pace than in recent years, just because the general CPI is up a bit.
So services, why would services outpace that? Is that because?
Well, because a lot of it has to do with health care, and you know what's been going on with health care. That's skewing the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Technology, on the other hand, has not been enjoying, may not always, all sectors of technology may not enjoy the same benefits of the increased prices. Many technology sectors are actually still declining, aren't they?
Right. There's still too much competition out there among providers and not enough demand. So you're going to see prices on cell phones and computers and consumer electronics.
Well, not only and not only competition in terms of quantity, but competition in terms of innovation.
Well, that's true.
Too,
yeah.
And the thing is, Joan, even though that may not be good for the technology companies, that part, that component of this overall picture that we're talking about, is good for the overall economy, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, cell phones are coming down. I don't know how cell phones could come down more than that. I mean, last time I heard, there's some places you could get a free cell phone. So
yeah, you can't do better than free.
Right, exactly. And, of course, the really offending part of the pricing power, pricing power these days is the oil. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Certainly, there's no question that the people who sell gasoline have not had any problem with pricing power, have they?
Well, that's true, and we're concerned. You know, again, the concern is that a terrorist attack somewhere in an oil field could push that price even higher. It's a well over $40 a barrel now, and we could be looking at $50 if something bad really happened.
Would it be safe to say, Joan, that if you think of our petroleum infrastructure as a system? Which it is, you know, from the oil fields to the tankers, to the pipelines, to the refineries, to the, you know, the retail distribution, wholesaling, and all that whole system. Would it be safe to say that we're so maxed out right now, almost globally, that any kind of a disruption somewhere, significant disruption somewhere, could really put the global economy in a tailspin? Is that an overstatement?
Well, I think that's a good point, especially since OPEC at its end has been slowing down the flow. So I would think that slows down the flow through the entire system.
Right.
And with demand, you know, at ever-increasing levels, I think we don't have a lot of margin for error.
Bill Dunkelberg last hour said that everybody is pretty much maxed out in their production except Saudi Arabia.
Jeez.
But they're the only ones that really have any kind of headroom to grow their volume any. And so, I mean, I that's the reason why, Joan, I say that we're just going to have to get used to this. But you know, Joan, when we've talked to some of the Fed folks, like our friend Bob McTeer with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, you know, he's always said, yeah, oil prices are up, but it'll go back down. And you know, we watch the oil prices in terms of inflation at the Fed. But, you know, as long as it doesn't hold, so you know, too high, it's not going to really have a long-term inflationary impact. I don't think he would say that now.
I think you're right. As you say, high oil prices may be here to stay for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. But now, Bill, but now here's an interesting thing, Joan. Bill Dunkelberg pointed out that in terms of adjusted for inflation, we still don't have record high prices. We have record high in terms of gasoline prices, but not and almost record high and in terms of dollar amount, it's record high. But adjusted for inflation, it's not.
Well, I can see that because things did get pretty crazy in the Arab oil embargo of the 70s.
In the 70s.
Yeah.
Especially, in fact, he points
which
out.
Which I wasn't born then, so I wouldn't remember.
Right, that was before your time. You read about it in history books, didn't you, Joan?
Right, in high school.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it, right? Joan, let's move over and talk top of page two and talk about jobs a little bit in terms of the economy. What's that looking like?
Well, listen to this. We're going to create maybe 2 million jobs this year.
Yeah.
I mean, last year we lost 61,000, so that's quite a turnaround. That's an
obviously
incredible turnaround.
Obviously, you didn't get this information off the Democratic National Committee's website, right?
Hey, no comment.
You must have gotten this
off
the,
where we got
you
it.
Must have gotten
no,
this off the Republican I, National Committee's website.
No idea.
Because that doesn't sound like a number that's coming out of the Democrats right now. And of course, if you'd have gone to the Republican National Committee's website, it would have said 5 million jobs.
I was going to say, yeah, I think two's a little low for their
so,
website.
So what you guys did, you went to both websites and kind of averaged them. Is that what you're saying?
What's the difference, right?
Joan, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest, and this show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We are back. 34 after. I love it. I love it when that one comes up when Joan's here. You like that one too, don't you, Joan?
I love it.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editor, the lovely and talented, often acerbic Joan Pride. Joan, your website at Kiplinger is Kiplinger.com, and that's KIPLINGER.com. Have you been on that site lately?
Always, all the time. It's
what's,
a great
what's
site.
There? Tell us what's there.
Well, gosh, a lot of it is personal finance, but you can also access our different publications through that site as well.
But there's a lot of free stuff. I mean, there actually also is some current events, some global stuff there that they can
True.
Get free. There's a lot of good stuff there. I've gone there and not even used my subscription base just to check things out. But you mentioned the publications. You guys have four newsletters, four letters, I guess I should say, the properly pronounced. The Kiplinger Letter, which is the flagship, the 81-year-old document that you guys put out every week. And then you got three biweekly letters. Every other week they come out. It's the Agriculture Letter, the Tax Letter, and the California Letter. And then you guys got a magazine, too.
That's right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
All right. Why doesn't New York have a letter, Joan?
Well, that's a
California,
good question.
California has a letter. Why doesn't New York? There are five bellwether states, according to John Nesbitt. I think it's California, New York, Florida, Delaware, and seemed like Colorado maybe. Why don't they have letters?
Well, you should write in and ask.
Yeah. But if is California going to be a big part of the political campaign this year? Do you think?
It always is, and I don't know how the Republicans can win without carrying California.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Do you?
Well, now I think that's something I haven't heard anybody else say lately.
Really? Well, that's what they said in 2000 about Bush.
But he didn't carry California.
Well, that's right. But see how close it was.
Exactly. So, but if he were to carry California, that would pretty much be the end of Mr. Kerry, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
Yeah. So that's a big. Are the Republicans, and this is off the letter a little bit, but are the Republicans, are they actually going after California, you think?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, will you check on that for us this week?
Oh, be happy to. I'll call Mr. Schwarzenegger and see what's going on.
There you go. Joan, we're in for some flight delays this year, you guys say.
I'm afraid so.
When we're flying on the airlines. What's going on?
Well, it's very simple. More people are flying. You know, the anxiety level is dropping, and airfares are dropping, too.
Yeah.
And that's going to put more people in those seats.
So you think people are, we're much farther away from a terrorist attack, and it's really, and I don't want to tempt fate here, but it's really been a long time since we've had any kind of an airline disaster.
Right. And you also have a lot of these low-cost carriers popping up, and they're really competing with the big carriers, and that's keeping prices lower.
Successfully competing, Joan.
Right. Oh, right.
I think that's the key, is they're successfully competing.
They're giving them a run for their money.
Absolutely. And quite a few of them, and it's very interesting. It's interesting to see how the old carriers called now? The legacy carriers? Is that what they call them?
I don't know.
Like that. There's some word that they use for Delta and United and American and people like that who've been around. They're really getting picked off. That's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
You know, Joan, I'm flying nonstop to Orlando and by these small regional jets. I make a lot of nonstop flights now with these small 50-passenger regional jets. That's really changed the way people travel, too, hasn't it?
That's right.
Have you noticed that? Have you flown any of those regional jets?
No, I haven't flown much lately. Haven't had reason to. I take my own personal jet, you know.
Well, I'm so sorry. I keep forgetting about that. Falcon 50 there that you fly every time. But those regional jets have really changed things, too. So hopefully that'll take some of the... So that takes a lot of the pressure off some of the hubs by having those direct flights.
That's right.
Let's move on down and talk about home loans. Uncle Sam, according to Kiplinger, is poised to stop backing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac Tell us who Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are, Joan. That's
well, they used to be the Federal National Mortgage Association and the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation. And between them, they tend to be the secondary market or a lot of the secondary market for home loans. And just because of what loans they're willing to buy or not willing to buy, they've set a lot of the standards for how mortgages are issued this country.
Well, when we come back, I'm going to ask Joan, are their loans, are the investments that they make, are they really guaranteed by the government? There's some question about that. We're going to get Joan to explain that to us after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And let me remind you, by the way, next week I'm going to be in Orlando, Florida all week long. I'll be broadcasting down there. I'm going down for the National Advisory, SBA's National Advisory Council meeting. I'll be there doing that for a couple of days. And then the last half of the week I'm going to be at the Expo, the SBA's 2004 Expo, which I'm excited about because I'm going to get to do some stuff down there. I'm going to get to moderate a couple of panels. I'm going to be emceeing the Friday luncheon. Joan, that's going to be a lot of fun. I wish you could come down and have fun with us down there.
I wish I could. Buy my plane ticket and I'll be there.
You'd be there. We would just hop in your jet there, Joan.
Oh, okay.
Come on down. By the way, folks, coming up in the show straight ahead, Bill Hubbert, Kelly Olweiler, Annabelle Dodd, and Ivan Meisner, and I'll tell you more about them a little bit later on. Joan, let's get back to this topic about, we were talking about, the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac thing. The big news is not what they do. The big news is how they're doing. And some people say they're not doing so well, but maybe we don't know how badly they are doing.
Well, that's right. And there's been a lot in the media about this. There's been a lot of concern, hearings on the Hill, and concern about, both of them, I guess, their accounting practices.
Yeah, and recently I think I saw where they didn't release all the information that they were supposed to, and that's kind of gotten some people excited too, hasn't it?
No question.
And what's the controversy about whether they're backed by the government or not? Can you explain that to
us? Well, I've never really understood this because they don't have an explicit government guarantee. It's not like buying a Treasury bond or even buying what they call a Ginnie Mae security. That's the Government National Mortgage Association. That's 100% backed by the government.
It seems to be implicit that the government
kind of
is
an
doing
implicit
it,
guarantee.
But not explicit.
It's kind of like a guarantee. Well, it's not a guarantee, but you know, there's this theory about banks. They call it too big to fail.
Right.
If you have a big bank like, say, a Citicorp or another kind of bank, let's say, theoretically, something was really wrong and it was going to fail, the federal government wouldn't let it fail because it's too important to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the view in the market about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So they've kind of got this implicit guarantee, which gives them, other lenders argue, or other people in the market argue, a competitive advantage that's really unfair.
But people have invested in them believing that the government would do that, haven't they?
Right, that's right.
And so now what we have is if they do fail, if one of them fails or starts to fail, then and all of a sudden the government's got to make a decision, and I suppose some attorneys are going to show up and say, "Hey guys, we don't have a contract."
Yeah, exactly.
And then what's going to happen to the market then, Joan?
And then it gets ugly.
It could get real ugly, right?
Right, exactly.
And in fact, this is such a level of concern that Mr. Greenspan has weighed in on it the last couple of 3 months, hasn't he?
He has.
And do you remember any of the things he said about it?
Well, I think he's concerned about what could happen if one of them does fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, folks, you know, most of the time, Joan, when I read about Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae, I kind of go, you know, whatever. But we probably need to start paying attention to this, shouldn't we?
No question.
And what could this do, Joan, to a real estate market? Not just the stock market, not just the overall economy, but part of this the conundrum or the problem that we could have would be how it affects mortgages.
Exactly.
Because these guys suck up a lot of mortgages, don't they?
Well, and by doing that, they free up more money for lenders to use to loan to new people. So if that dries up, then you have a real problem with the mortgage market.
Because what happens is if you go to your bank or local mortgage company, as you know, a lot of local mortgage companies don't have any money of their own. They just package the mortgages and upstream them to a consolidator that probably winds up with Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac.
Right, and that's how they get more money to make loans.
Exactly. So this could be something. Do you know anything about what's being done? I hate to sound like this, Joan, but somebody in the government should do something about this. What is being done?
Well, from what I can see, there's been a lot of hearings on Capitol Hill. They love to have hearings. And beyond that, I don't know if they know what to do.
Well, and of course, Joan, is always the chance that the government would step in and say, you know what, we don't have to do this, but we've done the numbers on what this would do to the economy if it did fail, and we just feel like, look what they did with the airline company, the airline industry. Look what they did with Chrysler back in the early 80s.
Right, that's exactly it. And the airlines didn't even have an implicit guarantee.
They had nothing. They had nothing but just the ability to move people around. So I think maybe investors are probably saying they're not going to let us fall.
Right.
They're going to pick this up. Joan, let's move over and talk about begin our discussion on Iraq. The big news this week has been more news about the Abu Ghraib prison. The people that did those horrible things to those prisoners. It's a disgusting thing. It makes me sick to say that those people are Americans, and they'll get a fair trial. I hope they do. I want them to get have the presumption of guilt. Maybe what I said just now doesn't sound like it.
You want them to have the presumption of guilt?
I mean of innocence. Presumption of innocence. That was a Freudian, I guess, Joan. But,
boy, it sure was.
But a presumption of innocence, but if they're found guilty, I hope we throw every book that we can at them.
Right. I agree.
Because what they did either has or will cost American lives.
Oh, no question about it.
And of course, the other news, Joan, is the beheading of the American this week.
Boy, that's what really made me sick this week.
Yep. But somebody said this was for to avenge the mistreatment at the prison. You know what? Those guys don't need a reason to do what they did.
Oh no. No.
That's just a canard. They don't need a reason. Stand by, Joan. We got more to come after these messages with Joan Price, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. It's 10 till. Stay with us.
Hit that streets of running and try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Joan Price, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, just to wrap up a little bit on Iraq, the one thing that does bother me about this coverage is we've had ad nauseum coverage, and we're going to continue to have it. This is not going away, about what happened in the prison. That was 6 to 8. Let's go ahead and round it out and say that there were some commanders that directly knew about this and condoned it. And let's say there are 20 people involved. Who knows how many? Isn't it sad? I think you would agree with me that it's sad that we spent this much time on that horrible, heinous situation. But yet, how much time have any of the mainstream media spent on all of the things that we have videotapes, we have photographs of the good things that Americans have done in Iraq? Wouldn't you say that there's an imbalance there?
Well, I think one of the problems is that we're America and we set ourselves a pretty high standard, and it's pretty shocking to see that we didn't meet that standard in this instance.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And isn't it interesting?
And I think it also shows a failure of the administration in terms of training people and getting them ready. We were able to fight the war, but we were having a lot of trouble with the peace, and I don't think the planning was there.
Yeah.
Bad planning.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you, except that I'm not sure what it would have taken to have been ready for that, because this is pretty new ground. But Joan, wasn't it a stark contrast in this week when we have some abuse that happened in a prison. Nobody died that we know about, but some abuse had happened. It was horrible.
Well, there are some bodies.
Let me finish.
Yeah.
The President of the United States apologized. His people apologized. We're taking these people to task. We're going to have justice. We'll serve, and we'll get all this will be uncovered. And yet, on the other side of the equation, I haven't heard any Islamic leaders apologize for what happened in Nicholas Berg or any of those other things. I'm just saying, isn't it an interesting contrast between the two civilizations, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I would certainly want an apology, too, but I guess their point of view, which I'm not saying I agree with, but they would say, hey, we were just sitting here. You guys invaded us.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Joan. What about Saudi Arabia? What about people?
What about them?
Well, they could denounce this. Why aren't they denouncing what happened to
Nicholas Berg?
Why isn't the emir of Kuwait denouncing it? We pulled his mutton out of the fire plenty of times, didn't he?
That's certainly true.
Joan, let's move down and talk about the telecom situation. What's going on there? Are they going to rewrite the 1996 law?
Not anytime soon. There's just no consensus in the industry about how to do it.
Yeah. Does it need to be done?
Well, we're saying reforms are needed, so
yeah.
I think the answer is probably yes.
That's turned into a pretty big kettle of eels, hasn't it?
Boy, that's a new one. Yeah, that sounds like something Kipling would
You guys can use that.
Eels.
You guys can use that if
like
you want
it.
To.
Thank you. Really? It's not copyrighted?
No, go ahead. I'll license it to you. It's turned into a mess, hasn't it, in some ways?
Oh, it sure has. And it's been, 96? You do the math. I'm no mathematician, but that means it's been quite a while.
8 years. And one of the main things that it's done it's had a significant effect on the radio landscape, hasn't it?
Well, yes, that's true.
In terms of the consolidation and
radio
and all that.
Completely different than it was
years ago. Totally different landscape than it was, and not always for the better, no question about that. I'm not sure how you put that toothpaste back in the tube, though, Joan.
Right.
After all these transactions have happened. I'm not sure how you do that. That may not be one of the things they look at. Joan, let's move over. Did we get through with energy? I know that's on page 4. Did we get through talking about that this earlier?
Well, we did say a lot about how, we're up above $40 a barrel, and things are not going to be coming down anytime soon.
We need more production, Joan, and because of NIMBY, not in my backyard, we're not going to get too many more refineries, are we?
Boy, that's certainly true.
Most people don't want them in their backyard. Right. And one of the things I've noticed, Joan, have you noticed that when prices go up and the oil companies say it's because our costs have gone up, for some reason, there's almost always an announcement when oil prices are up that their profits are also up.
Yeah, funny how that works.
It's amazing how that works. You'd think that they'd actually say, you know what, guys, we didn't report any more profits. It's just strictly cost. But if you'll track it, it seems to always happen for some
You're
reason,
such
Joan.
An optimist.
Yeah, I know it. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next week.
Sounds great.
Thanks. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.